the last couple weeks, as we traveled through the Gospel of John, we're in John chapter 14. 2 weeks ago, we talked about heaven, eternity. Last week, we talked about how to get into heaven. And I felt the need this morning, as part two of our message from last week, to talk about another subject. But before I get into that subject, I have a question. Have you ever watched, has anyone here ever watched that show by John Quinones called What Would You Do? Some of you maybe seen that show, where on the TV show where they video people's responses to different situations to see what they would do, and then they ask you on the show, what would you do in this situation? The last show I saw, they were in a coffee shop, and this middle-aged gentleman comes into the coffee shop, and he walks over to this young girl who's an actress, and she has her guitar, and the older gentleman goes up to her and begins this conversation with her. She's a little awkward at first, and he asks her about music, and she says she would like to get into the music industry, and he goes, wow, he says, I have a music studio at my house, and not only that, as I have contact with different musicians, you want to come to my house, and we can play in my studio? And so he starts this conversation. While this is all happening, of course, he's talking quite loud, they're talking to each other, everyone else in the coffee shop is overhearing this conversation. Well, eventually he goes, well, to this young lady, well, let me use the bathroom, and then we'll go to my studio, and we could get you hooked up with music. Well, he takes off to the bathroom, and then the video shows, goes in on different people and on their reaction to this conversation. And you have some people whisper over to her, don't go with the guy, don't do it. You have other people have this stress look, like they don't like what she's going to do, this young girl going with this middle-aged guy that she doesn't know, and they say nothing at all. And then you see, I saw this one girl, and she's quite young with these younger girls around the table, and when he got up, she goes right up and starts, hey, I would not, she sits there, looks at her, I would not go with him. And when he came back out and started getting a little pushy, she would not even let the girl go with him. What would you have done? What would you have done in that situation? So, of course, I find it entertaining and thought-provoking when I watch the show. I enjoy watching the show because what would I do if I saw a caretaker abusing an Alzheimer's patient? Or what would I do if a teen approached me and asked if I would buy them some marijuana? And it's pretty amazing when you watch the show on how people react. What would they do? What would I do? But so this morning, I'm going to be like John Quinones, and I want to ask you some questions. What would you do in these possible tragic situations? Let me set up three scenarios for you. One day, you are sitting on the beach, lounging in the sun. The beautiful breeze is coming off the water, and as you are sitting there, all of a sudden you hear a cry of a child. You turn around, you look out into the waves, and there's this young child trying to stay above water. What would you do? Or you were hiking by a river one day, and you came across a beautiful large waterfall. You take out your phone, you take a couple pictures, you begin to walk upriver, and when you go just barely up the river, you look out suddenly, and there's these teens on these tubes going down the river having a blast. What would you do? Would you wave? Hey, I hope they know it's ahead of them. Woo-hoo! Or would you yell out and say something? What would you do? Or one evening, you see smoke pouring out of this house. And you look to the second story and you see this elderly woman crying out for help. What would you do? Would you, call, hi, Helen, I'll see you later. Or would you do something? What would you do? And as we can see from these three scenarios here, we all have a choice to either help and prevent a tragedy or do nothing at all. In a different but similar way, there are some in the church who are not stepping forward to prevent a tragedy from taking place. People are dying without Christ, yet we live our lives as if nothing is happening at all. People are being consumed by sin, yet we smile at them and wave to them every day. There are people who are flowing down the river of life and are about to plunge over the raging falls of God's wrath and judgment, yet we stay in the warmth of our churches and say nothing. Instead of what would we do, like that show, I have a question for you this morning. What will you do? There's a teaching that is becoming more and more popular or unpopular in the churches today, and that is a teaching on hell. Everyone wants to talk and believe about heaven or God's love, but people don't want to talk about hell. I did a funeral yesterday. As some of you know, Gail Carlisle's father passed away. Thank the Lord he knew Jesus. And everyone's like, oh, we'll see him again. But part of my message yesterday was, no, everyone won't see him because this is what the gospel says. But praise be to God that he knew Jesus. He knew the way to heaven. So people don't want to talk about hell. And if we don't warn people from what God's word says about judgment and wrath, we are no different than the bystander who watches from the beach and allows the child to drown and do nothing, or the person who's on the teens who are in on the inner tube and are going to plunge over the falls, and we just go, oh, and we wave at them or whatever. We are no different than them by not telling them what is to come. As heaven should be what we're living for, hell should be what we're speaking to warn people about God's wrath. They are very important. Because there are different Christians and different denominations are trying to erase the idea of hell from God's church. And instead, they profess this loving God who would never be so harsh to send people to hell. Why? Because he's a God of love. Why would God ever do that? So today, we are going to spend a moment and some time talking about hell. If you want an in-depth study of hell, I recommend a book called Erasing Hell by Francis Chan. And a lot of things I'll be talking about is from that book. I think it's a great book. As he responded in one way to a book that came out years ago about Love Wins by Rob Bell, I think it was. And he, in response to the idea that everyone will end up in heaven, Francis Chan came out later, just after that book, with his own book about erasing hell. And he looked at it from a biblical perspective, an in-depth biblical perspective on hell. So if you want a deeper study, read that book. But since we're limited on time, I would like to focus on a few aspects of the subject. Here's a question. Did Jesus ever talk about hell? Did our loving, compassionate Lord ever mention this subject? Do we really want the answer to that this morning? Do we really want to know? During the life of Jesus, and we'll come to answer that in a moment, during his life, there was a strong belief among the Jews about a future place where people would experience the fiery judgment of God. They called this place hell, or really Gehenna. So if you see when they announce hell in the Gospels, it's Gehenna. And Gehenna refers to a valley of Hinnom, which was a southwest of Jerusalem, a deep, narrow ravine with steep and rocky cliffs. It was in this valley that the Jews when they forsook God and he pursued the other gods. It was in this valley that their children, that they offered their children to the god of Molech. It was this idol that had the form of a bull and it had arms out, and they would heat up the idol's arms to red glowing hot, and they would sacrifice their babies and children by placing them upon that idol. And they forsook God, and God hated what they did. A place of extreme disobedience and horrific things they did against God. A place of extreme pain. And as you can imagine, this angered God. Not that they only forsook him, but they would do such ridiculous things with their children, things that he would never call them to do. And if you were to read in Jeremiah, and let me just read this, Jeremiah 7. Let me just read this short passage to give you more of a context of what we're talking about today. Jeremiah 7, verse 30. Beginning in verse 3, let me read this. For the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it even come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be called Topheth or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth because there is no room elsewhere. And the dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth, and none will frighten them away. So here we see God's anger against his people and his promise of judgment. And to the first century Jew, from that time until the first century Jew, Gehenna represented a place of fiery judgment from God against the wicked. There is a popular belief also that that valley was a garbage dump. And it was some people believe, and you see that in a lot of the commentaries, where they'll talk about it, it was a place because they looked at that valley and they knew God's judgment and his fiery judgment that was to come. They believed that it was a trash dump, and they would take the garbage and stuff and burn it there, as well as bodies of people that they did not know. Personally, as I looked into this, I did not find any real evidence for that. Some that do believe that take that from like a bishop from 1,200 years after Jesus was born who mentioned that. And so people say, oh, it was a garbage dump, yet we have no archaeological evidence or anybody at the time of Christ who'd even validate that truth. There may have been, but if anything, I believe that Gehenna refers to the valley where Israelites' shameful acts were performed, and it was a place that as they saw God's judgment there, they feared and they knew and they believed in the fiery judgment that God was going to bring. So when they said, Gehenna, wow, God's fiery judgment. But did Jesus believe in this place of judgment? Did Jesus contradict or go against this common belief of hell in his culture? Instead, he strongly reinforced it. Because we know that Jesus, who came against many of what the Jews said, he came against how they did the Sabbath, how they did follow these man-made traditions. So Jesus was not ashamed or embarrassed to tell the truth. But here, when it came to hell, he strongly reinforced the belief of the day. He believed in such a way that Jesus talked more about hell than anybody else in the Bible. It was from Jesus. You talk to people, oh, he's so loving. They would never do that. It was Jesus who brought up the subject of hell. He talks about hell more than he talks about heaven. Think about it. And since we just talked about heaven and how to get there the past couple of weeks, I felt that we needed to talk about where other people will go, and that is hell. It is not a subject I like to talk about. And if it, in my own finite mind, you know, I would rather think, oh, everyone's going there. I don't want to think about it. But we must teach God's word. We must let people know about the falls of God's wrath, the burning fire that will take place. We must, or we're just sitting there witnessing it, yet doing nothing for it. So let us look at some of the words of Jesus this morning. And first, in Matthew 5, 21 to 26, let me read a portion of this passage where Jesus talks about anger. And let me read verse 21 to 22. Listen to the words of Jesus. "You have heard that it was said of old, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Jesus talks about hell, Gehenna of fire. In Matthew 18, verses 7 through 9, Jesus talks about the temptation to sin and the serious consequences of sin. And in Matthew 18, verses 8 to 9, let me read that to you, where Jesus says, "And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eyes cause you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell fire." Hell of fire. Gehenna. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, we see this incredible picture of Jesus, the Son of Man, coming in the world to judgment. And he comes and he separates the sheep and the goats. And to the goats, he says in verse 41, listen to this. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And then if you jump up to verse 46, "And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Eternal punishment, the righteous into eternal life. And then in Matthew 13, 36 through 43, Jesus tells this parable of the weeds. And he describes a judgment that will take place at the end of the age, that there will be a separation between the wheat and the weeds. And what happened to the weeds? We see in verse 41 and 42 of Matthew 13. Listen to this. "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have a question. Do you know anyone, a neighbor, family, or friend that does not know Jesus? Is that where you want them? This message today is not to be harsh, but to speak the truth. And hopefully God would birth a grief, a new drive to tell people about Jesus, because he is the way into heaven. And then there's another passage where in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 13, where Jesus tells a parable of a wedding feast and describes the punishment of those who don't come to the feast. But Jesus also describes the punishment of the man who came to the feast, but he had no wedding garments on. And we see that in Matthew 22, verse 13. Listen to what the king said in this parable. "Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" And in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. And when the master comes to settle accounts with his servants, Jesus says to the worthless servant who did not do anything with the money that he gave him, in verse 30 of Matthew 25, he says this, "And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." As we see, Jesus talked about hell. Or maybe I should say this. He lovingly talked about a real place called hell. He wanted to warn people about the judgment to come. Are we listening? If Jesus talked about it, and we are to walk in his footsteps, are we not to talk about it, even if it's uncomfortable? Because some of us have been around people, right? The people standing in the corner, "Repent!" And we call, "Oh, that's an extremist." And I get that, right? I wonder, if Jesus said the same thing on a corner, would we go, "Okay, Jesus"? That's not the Jesus I follow. He's the loving. "Oh, everyone come into my kingdom. Everyone come as you are." Jesus had a passion to save the lost, but he also warned them of the judgment that would come. Are we living as Christ lived? To love, yet speak the truth in love. Are we willing to do that? And not only did Jesus warn about hell and judgment, but the Apostle Paul did as well. Even though Apostle Paul never used the word hell or Gehenna, Francis Chan points out that Paul, quote, describes the fate of the wicked with words such as perish, destroy, wrath, and punishment more than 80 times, unquote. Here is one of the most vivid pictures painted by Apostle Paul depicting judgment. That's in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 to 9. It says this, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Jesus talked about hell. Paul talked about hell. And if we had time, we would see that Peter and Jude talked about hell. But we don't have time to go into that this morning. But there is a passage in Revelation that describes God's judgment in hell. And in Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11, John describes the judgment that will take place on the worshipers of the beast and on those who have the mark. And we see that in verse 10 of Revelation 14. And let me read this to you. "He also will drink of the wine of God's wrath, pouring full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night." And in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, John describes the final great white throne judgment. And in verse 15 of Revelation 20, he says this, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Can't we see? God's word, hell is a real place, a real destination. Jesus spoke about it. Paul spoke about it. Peter and Jude and Revelations describes hell. And if we were to look at these verses, listen to some of the descriptions of hell. Outer darkness. Who here wants to be in outer darkness? You ever go in a cave? If I get any type of human experience, I think of outer darkness, of going in a cave where there's no dark, no light, where you can't see the boulder that's like a foot in front of you. Utter darkness, outer darkness. Or there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, the grinding of the pain and the teeth and the grinding. a fiery furnace, eternal punishment, eternal destruction, a place where people will be tormented by fire and sulfur, and you'll have no rest day or night, and it will be a lake of fire. And however you want to interpret that, it is a judgment that no one wants to be part of. And there's many different aspects of this subject we can talk about. But I want us to know this morning the truth of God's word. What will you and I do? Not would we do, what will we do? And we have the worship team come forward. Think about a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. Right now, my family, my brother Gene, my brother Steve. Am I storming heaven with prayer? Am I willing, when opportunities arise, to say something? Do I weep for them? Do I weep for my neighbor? Or are we just too busy living this Christian, comfortable Christian life? When the Jesus himself says, narrow is the gate that leads to life. Wide and easy is the way that leads to destruction. Hell should drive us to tell people about Jesus. As we worship, we ask God, break my heart with your heart. Send me to be a messenger of truth and love. Let us worship.